You are listening to a Bible talk recorded at the 2002 Western Christadelphian Bible School at Manuka. This is the Sunday Memorial Service exhortation given by Brother Dave Garnand.
And in this case, it was the words, "Learn from me." So I think we all seek after that yoke that doesn't weigh us down, and we seek for that place of freedom. But Jesus is actually calling us here to learn from him. And this came out of the reading of Philippians chapter 3. Look at the verse 10 and 11. Paul, speaking for all of us, but worthy to be considered, is this: "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attain to the resurrection from the dead." I want to know Christ. I want to know him in the deepest possible way. I want to understand him. And then there's like a two-verse disclaimer here to make sure that everything's really clear and to point to what the real point, the real direction here, the real place that we have to go. In verse 12, he says, not that I've attained this already, not that I've already obtained all this, not that I've been made perfect, not already, that hasn't happened, but I press on. I press on. That's the part that I'm doing. I'm pressing on. But look what he says. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. So I'm pressing on, and he's already taken hold. Remember that Jesus said to us, he said, you can almost hear him having a discussion with us. Who chose whom? You know, it's so easy to fall into that place where aren't we so brilliant that we've figured this thing out and everybody else is wrong? But we know better than that, don't we? We should remind each other of that. Because he said, you have not chosen me, I chose you. So we're pressing on, yes. We're putting our heart into this thing, but it's something that's already been taken place. To take hold of that thing for which Christ Jesus took hold of me already. He goes on, brothers, I don't consider myself to have already yet taken hold of it. That's what this is all about. But here's what I do have. Here are the things that I have in verse 13. Forgetting what is behind, number one, my sins have been forgiven. I've been cleansed. I've been purified. Now I don't have to look back. Right? Hebrews, we can't see the words in Hebrews because it keeps telling us over and over to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. We've been cleansed, not just of our sins, but of a guilty conscience. Put it behind. There's a lot of work to do. Going ahead. What a waste of time it is, and what a pitiful thing for me to do in front of God to constantly remind him of what a miserable person I am. He said, you know, I already got over that. Why don't you get over that? Let's go. Let's go forward. Forget what's behind. Strain to what's ahead. Press on to the goal to win the prize for which, and here we go again, it didn't start with us, which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. God called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. He sent his son who took hold of me and said, let's go. We're going this way. Forget what's behind. Focus on pressing ahead. Strain for what's ahead. For our citizenship is in heaven. We don't have earthly citizenship. We're not about this world. We don't care what happens in this world, what's going on with the wonderful things that can be done in this world. It means nothing to us. We eagerly await a Savior from there, from heaven itself, the Lord Jesus Christ. We wait for that. That's what we're doing, waiting. It always comes down to, what do you do while you're waiting, right? What should we do? You know, game of pinochle, you know, we'll sit around, pour some coffee. You get the idea in the Bible that the waiting that they're talking about in the Bible is not that kind of waiting. It's not sitting around loitering. But what is the work? What is the work involved? What are you supposed to do, right? We've already been called heavenward by God himself. He called us. Come on, you're coming. He sends his son. He pulls us forward. I want to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, if we skip up to chapter 4, verse 1, he says, stand firm. The idea of stand firm, number one, stand firm. Reminds me of what he said to Moses when they stood on the threshold of a great sea that they couldn't get across and the army was coming from behind them. It was a hopeless situation. You know, we're trapped by the sea. We can't get out. You know, have you ever felt that way in life? I mean, this is coming upon me and I have no place I can go. Stand firm. Stand firm. Ah, I'm going to freak out. I'm not going to stand firm. You know, stand still. Watch what I do for you. Stand still. Stand firm. Stand right there and believe. See what's going to happen next. The sea will part. Look what he says just really quickly, because I said I'd be really quick tonight. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This is what he says to Jehoshaphat in verse 15. He says, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the vast army that's about to wipe you out. Don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid." Yeah, right. "For the battle is not yours, but God's." It's not your battle. It feels like it's my battle. That's what I think. I keep thinking, the vast army is going to overwhelm me, and I can't get it through my mind, so I'll have to talk to you about it tonight. It's not my battle. The sea will part. The army will be destroyed. It's not my battle. I will be saved. They've taken hold of me. They've called me to heaven. It's already happened. What do I need to do? Stand firm. Have faith. Believe. Guess who's doing the work? Who's working their tails off? Our Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ are working like mad on us all the time. So what should we do? What do we do while we're waiting? Chapter 4, verse 2 talks about some people that you and I don't know. Ironically, we know them perfectly because you just change the names and stick it in your own ecclesia and it's the same everywhere. And there's only one thing that comes out of that little paragraph there, and that's this. Agree with each other. You know, God is working, and Jesus is working, and you need to stand firm, and while you're standing firm, agree with each other. That's a lot of work. Let's just try that. Let's help each other do that. Let's think about that this week. Let's say, we've got to agree with each other, because I don't really want to agree with you. I disagree with you. I know it already. I haven't even talked to you. I'm a Christadelphian. That's what I'm good at. Verse 6. "Let your gentleness be evident to all." The Lord is near. So, I only have to read two sentences and I've got my work cut out for me for the rest of my life. I need to agree with you. And I need to let my gentleness be evident to all. I've got to live. This isn't something I can fake. This is something that's got to come from deep inside of me. I've got to let my gentleness be evident to all. He goes on to say, don't be anxious about anything. Okay. "But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving..." Oh, that's right, I forgot. "Present your requests to God." Will you remind me of that? I mean, that's what I forget. You know, I'm stressed to the max. Life is a mess. The army's behind. The sea's in front. There's no hope. It's not my fight. It's not my fight, right? "Let my gentleness be evident to all." Agree with each other. "And the God of peace, which transcends all understanding..." Look, there he goes again. He's doing so much work. I don't even see him, and he's working. You know what he's going to do? "He will guard my heart and my mind." He will guard our hearts and our minds. That's what he's going to do. He's going to guard. Petition. Help me. You've got to help me. The battle is yours. Okay, I'll guard your heart. I'll take care of you. I'll guard your heart and your mind. In Christ Jesus. It's amazing how much work they're doing, and it's amazing actually how much work we have to do. We can't attain anything ourselves. We're not going to do this ourselves. It's not us. All we have to do is believe. Stand firm and believe. And in that, we need to agree with each other and let our gentleness be evident to all. In verse 8 he really says brothers and sisters, but "whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, while you're waiting, think about these things. Colossians, the next book, has a lot of similar thoughts in it. In 3:17 it says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves, get dressed, put these things on. Go to your closet, find these things and put these things on and wear them around every day with you. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other. Forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Agree. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Clothe yourself with these things." That's a full-time job, and we need to help each other do it. "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow, attained the resurrection of the dead." Well, it begins with inside of each one of us we want to know Christ. We want to understand him truly. The power of the resurrection, we want to know that, but that's what he's going to do. It's the power of his resurrection. He's going to show that to us in our lives. He's going to demonstrate that to us in our rebirth, in the total process of our rebirth, so that we can attain to the resurrection of the dead. But in between this poetic kind of saying here, he has to know the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. Share in his sufferings. Agree with each other. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Be clothed with compassion and kindness, humility. Wear this stuff around and share the suffering of Jesus Christ, who, in all these things, was nailed to a tree because they didn't like him, because they were disgusted with the kind of person he was. "Learn from me," he says. So we can participate. We have a great part participation. Not to create salvation, not to determine what all truth is, but to live a life in gentleness, in peace, in kindness, working together, working with each other. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Look at me, learn from me, watch me, he's saying to us. Look at all the things I do and watch me. Watch what I do. Learn from me. "For I am gentle and humble in heart. Come unto me, all you who labor in these things." All of you, all of us who are laboring in these things, who are heavenly burden. "And I will give you manuka, rest."